Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes of daily life from Jesus meets yours. Today is May 30th, 2019, the fourth of the five great Christian festivals, the Festival of Ascension. I have a brief reading from Acts chapter 1, as well as a sermon from Pastor Skip Getzinger from St. Paul, Ottawa, from Ephesians chapter 1, looking at the ascension that Jesus has ascended to God's right hand for you. We'll begin with our reading from Acts chapter 1. Luke records, "I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they were together with him, they asked, 'Lord, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set up by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away." This is the word of our God. And so the ascension is the final element of Christ's exaltation. The exaltation of his human nature. Talking about this person, Jesus, he is both God and man. And as God, he has always had all power and authority and glory and honor and praise. But now, when he ascends to heaven, he ascends also as man. He retains his humanity. He's still a human all the way through the end of time and through eternity. And so when he ascends visibly, He ascends with his body. He ascends bodily. This exact same Jesus who had walked and talked and died and rose is the one who ascends into heaven. So that right now you can say that Jesus is at God's right hand interceding for me. He's human with all authority and power in heaven and on earth in his hands, given into his nail-scarred hands. And this is an incredible comfort for you and me, especially as Christians, people for whom God, you know, controls the history of the world for your good and mine, and for the good of his church. God restrains evil so that his word may be proclaimed, and God watches over your life in all the big details and small details for your eternal good. And so when he ascends into heaven, that's Jesus's way of demonstrating his love, his care for you, and you can know that you have a brother, an advocate, an intercessor, reigning and ruling over all things for your good. Our next little audio bit is from Pastor Skip Getzinger, a sermon from last year, Ascension 2018, based on Ephesians chapter 1, Jesus is at God's right hand for you. Here goes.
The name of the Lord, the name of Adonai. What does God's name mean? You were taught in catechism class that God's name are all of those proper nouns, those adjectives, those adverbs, those characteristics in the Bible that describe him. And that is true. But listen to God's own description of what his name means, his own definition. The Lord, the compassionate God, the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving. Forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This is your God. This is the God who has the power to be able to back up those promises that he places before us this day. And this is the God who we heard in our gospel account led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. The idea of going up into heaven like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz is an idea that just does not mesh with our current worldview. A worldview, a culture that says I'm spiritual but I'm not religious. A culture, a worldview that says that there is no heaven above and there is certainly no hell below and this is pretty much it. Even for us, gathered here today, I think that this festival known as the Ascension is just an oddity among us, and I'm not quite sure that any of us here, well, I guess I better know because I'm preaching on it, but I'm not sure that any of us really know what to do with this festival. We understand Christmas. That's the day that God Almighty came to earth, took on human flesh. When the time had fully come, he became a child. The promised Savior child. We understand Jesus' baptism in the flesh at the Jordan River by John. That was the event that kicked off his ministry. We certainly understand his suffering and his death during Holy Week and Good Friday, and we most certainly understand Easter. But Ascension, I think sometimes it leaves us a little confused. And if it does leave you a little confused, hopefully we're going to clarify that this morning. But you know what? You're in good company. Because the apostles were a little confused as well. They had been with him for his entire ministry. Jesus came back to life. Jesus is with them for 40 more days in a more glorified form. And what do they ask him? What is he going to do with this power that he obviously has? They ask him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? Is that what he was supposed to be using his power for? This morning, you and I are going to be encouraged to study this text from Ephesians chapter 1 under this idea that keep the eyes of your heart focused, those words that are taken from Ephesians by the Apostle Paul. Keep the eyes of your heart focused on what Jesus' power has done for you. And keep the eyes of your heart focused on what Jesus is doing even for you today. Power. The power of life is the power of God worked through Christ. And I have to tell you that on that day, that Good Friday day, Jesus certainly did not look like he had a whole lot of power as he was standing at the mercy of ruthless men. When his honor was spittle and mockery, when the service rendered to him was the scourge, when the human justice forsook him and divine justice overtook him, and when the nails fastened him to the cross, and when death finally claimed him, he did not look like he had a whole lot of power. But the third day dawned. The third day, as promised, dawned, and just as Jonah had been in the fish 3 days, so Jesus broke forth from that grave, and he left it empty. That morning silence was broken by the rolling away of a big, giant rock from that grave. The Lord had risen. The sins that had crushed him were lying there in that grave, along with the folded linens, forever to remain there. And the death that had seemingly conquered him was also left impotent and useless behind in that grave as well. risen from the dead. Let that word, that phrase of power, sink into you for a moment. Because one day that will be the reality for you. Risen from the dead. The single greatest act and demonstration of God's potential power and his kinetic power, all in one, displayed for the entire world, which means for us, so it doesn't just turn into a science class or a history lesson, sins forgiven for the world. Believe it. It's yours. Death, Satan, hell, all conquered. And Jesus did it by his power. He did it for his church. He did it for you. It was this work of salvation. It was this gift of salvation to God's people that the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians and telling them that he was keeping them in his prayers, that this knowledge, this divine, powerful knowledge that had worked on their behalf would work deeper and wider and give them more spiritual insight, that the eyes of their heart would be given wisdom and revelation, and that they would glory in this thing that God had done for them. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's my prayer for you, and Pastor Thompson's prayer for you as well. A spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but a spirit of wisdom and revelation by the power of the word, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. All of these energy and power words floating around in this text has to remind us of our lack of strength, especially in the spiritual realm. Had the good news not reached us, had the Spirit of God not come and taken up residence in our hearts, had the scales not dropped away from our spiritual sight, this Jesus, this Christ above, would have forever been too high up for us to reach him, and we would have forever been too low to be able to affect any change to our state. The deeper and the wider that you and I, that we Christians, recognize our spiritual depravity and our total moral ruin, is the better we shall be able to highly value the sublime and the superior and the all-conquering power and might of our God that has been leveraged and worked for you. This power and might that has victoriously broken up your resistance, who has broken up your stony heart, who has created a heart of flesh now, as Ezekiel says, who has given you saving faith, this power and might that continues to preserve this faith in you. What an astounding gift. What a precious gift. What a supreme demonstration of God's grace, not just to the world now, but to you. A powerful, mighty demonstration of God's moving and effective agency in your life. How much do you have to give God thanks for? Your job, your spouse, your children, your life. What about your eternal life? This may not be the place to ad lib, but this week we were given absolutely glorious and astounding news. Phil Arner is going home today. His numbers are up. You need the details? Talk to Mitch. I don't understand all those numbers that Mitch sent to Pastor Thompson and I in that text yesterday. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord has heard prayers that we really wanted to spend a little bit more time with this brother whom we love. And in his power and might, he has defied the odds, and he has given us a little bit more time with our brother. But the truth of the matter is that for the child of God, for Phil, however this would have turned out, it was an absolutely stupendous, it would have been an absolutely stupendous and amazing demonstration of God's grace in Phil's life. Paul's prayer. I just don't know whether I should say amen now and just sit down. Paul's prayer this morning should really cause you to weigh carefully and to consider thoughtfully the power and might that God's grace has been demonstrated in your own life. Because beyond all measure, that this is the power and might of God which has been worked in your life. So I'm going to pray this morning for you, and I'm going to pray that you do. Keep the eyes of your heart focused. Keep it focused on Jesus' power and what he has already done for you. Don't ever let that go. If there was ever a time for you to start with personal Bible study at home, today is the day. You have witnessed a miracle in baptisms. You have witnessed a miracle in the life of Phil Arner. You have witnessed a miracle in your own life. So today, go home and pick up your Bible and open up to the Gospel of John. And get out a piece of paper and write down on the left-hand side 1 through 21. And I want you to read chapter 1 tonight before you go to bed. And I want you to ask yourself one simple question. Who is this Jesus? And you ask yourself that question every time you read chapter 2 and then chapter 3 and chapter 4. And when you get that list done, I want you to bring it in or email it to me and we'll see what you came up with. Is that a deal? That's a deal. This ascension account that is recorded before us in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts, that is the account that is recorded from the perspective of the disciples. But this account that is recorded for us in the book of Ephesians this morning is the account from the perspective of the other side of the cloud that the disciples cannot see. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Knowing God's power is the basis for trusting in him. Trusting in him that he can and he will do what he says he's going to do in his promises to us, in his word to us. But where's the proof? For the skeptics among us, you can ask me fairly, where's the proof of this power of his? And Exhibit A that Paul presents before us this morning is not the creation account where God simply spoke for 6 days and everything that is came into being. Exhibit A is not the parting of the Red Sea. Exhibit A is not the worldwide flood. It's the resurrection of Jesus. The body of the God-man brought from death to life. So God's right hand is not the coordinates of where you'll find Jesus. It's not his location. The right hand of God is his job description. So if we're going to be blessed today by Jesus' ascension to up there, we need to answer two questions for ourselves. First question that we need to answer is, who's in control? And the second question we need to ask is, whose side is he on? If we were in control, if you were in control, we would give ourselves prosperity and riches. Is it not so? Yeah, it is. Even though happiness comes with godliness and contentment. If you were in control, you would not choose to fail at anything. Even though God's grace becomes more real for us when we are weak. Is it not true? Phil Arner. Karen. Tracy. Aaron. Lauren. If we were in control, we would not choose to be sick or ever injured. Even though such experiences teach us to trust in Him and Him alone and not in ourselves. If you and I were in control, we would deal ourselves a hand that contained absolutely no sorrows, no heartache, and no pain, even though it is in times of sorrow that you and I best understand our hope for heaven. You and I can be glad that God did not put you at the right hand of God to make the decisions for your life. Right? Who's in control? Jesus is. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that could be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So whose side is he on? Because Jesus rose, we too shall rise. And because our lives are so tied up into that resurrection, they too are also tied up in his ascension. There is a promise tied to the resurrection, and that means that there is also a promise tied to his ascension. Three little words are going to tell you whose side he's on. And God placed all things under his feet, all things, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. And by church, that includes you. In case you haven't gotten the message by now, there is no power greater. There is no authority higher. There is no one with more influence. And there is no one with a greater heart watching out for your benefit than your Savior Jesus. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way is the one who is on Phil Arner's side. This whole time, and who will continue to stay by his side the whole time, and who has been with you in your past and your present and your future the whole time. He will never let you go. I suppose now it's time to say amen and wrap this thing up. There was no handshake of goodbye by Jesus. There were no hugs. There were no tears like the Apostle Paul when he had to leave the Ephesian elders. He simply raised his hands and he blessed them. The hands that you could still see the nail marks in his wrists. The hands that still continued to bring his sheep into the protective care of the Good Shepherd. The hands that continue to reach out and call those who have strayed home to the power and comfort and might of himself. The hands that are still raised to this day to bless us. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. He will use his power to watch over you all the days of your life. That's the power of ascension. Amen. Please rise.
Pastor Skip Getzinger from St. Paul Lutheran Church in downtown Ottawa, a church that's been there since roughly 1870. And Pastor Getzinger also serves as president for our Wells Canada, which is the Wisconsin Lutheran Synod in Canada. We've got roughly a dozen churches. And finally, a reminder, tonight at 7 p.m., we have Ascension Worship down at Hosanna Lutheran Church, 8353 Monclover Road, and Sunday morning worship at Resurrection. We'll talk about Easter 7 and talk about the Ascension a little bit as well, 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. God bless your day.